Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 13. Gale. Jinx paced the space of the warehouse, scanning up and down. Her palm was itching faintly, and the hairs on the back of her neck were standing up, but she couldn't put a finger on why. Something smelled wrong. Something felt wrong. It was like a flavor in the back of her throat that she half-remembered tasting, like she'd just swallowed a mouthful of sump water. The two firelights, she couldn't remember their names, were chatting in low tones as they circled the pile of crates, and she glanced back at Echo, who was doing the same thing she was. Maybe it was just all the open space. Zonites in general hated wide-open spaces. They were too easy to get jumped in, and even if you could see your opponent coming, it didn't do you any good if there was no cover. Plus, there was the unspoken no-shit rule of if you can see them, then they can see you deal that open spaces always came with. Maybe it was just the open space. Maybe. Maybe it wasn't, though. Her ears were ringing with tinny little noises, and she felt twitchy. And there was something wrong, and she hadn't twigged to it yet, and she didn't like that one itty little bit. Not one bit, no sir. A trickle of dust fell over her head, and she went rigid as something sparked between her ears. An idea, or something very much like an idea, more like a bunny. It sprung out from between the wrinkles in her brain and was fleeing across the meat. Something had spooked the bunny, but what? Jinx went rigid as she chased it, eyes flicking to and fro as she tried to connect a thousand little disparate dots. Skeleton crew guard posting, fine, within parameters. Wooden structure, built over has no readily accessible quarry. Import stone from Noxus. Quick construction necessitated simple concrete foundations and wooden walls, fine and within parameters. No alarms yet, suspicious but not outside of reach. The buildings were new and there were no Hextech mains to hook them into. Reliance on secrecy over hard security. Fine, within parameters. But what spooked the bunny? She stuck her tongue out and a few scatterings of dust fell on it. Then she sucked her tongue back in and chewed. Crunchy, 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 that wasn't right. It should have been sawdust, but that was...
Stone dust, Jinx mumbled. Stone dust, but where?
Cut! Cut! Cut!
Jinx spun on her heels with Pow Pow's cylinders already spinning up as Echo whirled in place, reached around to the canister from his back at his waist, gripped the handle, and pulled. Green light exploded out haphazardly, sparking and snapping wildly before sputtering into nothing, and Echo swore viciously as he pulled it again and again. And all it made was more pops and sparks.
It won't work, little man! Get down!
Jinx bellowed as something small and lightning fast erupted from between two crates. To his credit, Echo didn't hesitate. He was already dropping before it had even made itself known. He had dropped the instant that Jinx had shouted the order as she filled the air above him with lead. The shots pinged and ricocheted wildly, chewing apart the wood of the crates. It was a sphere, bisected by a mechanism of rotating blades with an eye of Hextech blue, and it was sent careening off course by the hail of gunfire.
Protect!
The sphere spun about with renewed purpose and retracted as if on a zip cord as a slender figure emerged from the shadows. Jinx turned her barrels on them, but a shield of diamond hard force had already flickered into place around her, deflecting the shots away.
Jinx, stop!
Echo pushed himself to his feet and pulled his baton free from his belt as Jinx relaxed her trigger finger.
Orianna,
he said quietly.
Janna's grace, Orianna, is that you?
Jinx raised an eyebrow and looked their attacker over. It sort of looked like the Piltoven champion if you were drunk, high, and squinting real hard, and also had an unmet fetish for black leather and knives. The Orianna sheet mat, albeit briefly, had been mostly silver with brass filigree and embellishments. Her brass hair had been done up in a loose, playful bun, and her eyes had been almost curious. This Orianna was nothing like that one had been. Her body had been replaced with what Jinx guessed were advanced brass composite alloys treated for flexibility as well as hardness. And she wore black clothing that was likely steel-threaded mesh like what the Clanners wore as an extra layer of defense. Newest of all were the blades. Everywhere Jinx looked, she found sharp bits. Her feet were curved blades, and her fingers ended in sickle-like claws. And both were stained with blood. Her skirt hung heavy with thick and equally stained brass blades that were most certainly attached to a rotator at her hips. Her face was the worst part, though. Oriana had always looked so weirdly human that it was unsettling, but Jinx had kind of liked that about her. It was like someone had tried very hard to make her look human, but just hadn't quite got there. Whoever had changed her this time hadn't even tried.
Stealth initiative lost,
she chirped.
Proceeding with test phase 2. Open combat. Disabling system doctrine. Shadow. Enabling system doctrine. Purge.
Oriana, no!
Echo said furiously.
What happened to you?
For a moment there was a flash of recognition in her clockwork eyes, and she cocked her head and Jinx could have sworn she sounded sad when she said,
I was told it was progress.
Her sphere darted out, and Jinx deflected it with another storm of bullets as Echo snarled out another oath and charged Oriana down. She snapped out a bladed leg in a devastatingly delicate pirouette, and Echo knocked her limb away but was forced to abandon his attack as the blades at her waist spun up and threatened to take his hand off at the wrist. Echo was fighting her at even odds, but Jinx could tell it was going to go wrong eventually. She couldn't get a bead on the blade bot because of her spherical bastard son's constant attacks, and worse was that while Echo would probably need several incredibly solid blows to knock anything loose, all Oriana would need was one clean hit to open him from gut to gullet.
Break!
Jinx shouted as she dropped to a knee and pulled Fishbones up and over her shoulder, and Echo bolted back into a tight tuck and roll as Jinx sent a Hextech rocket flying at the ground between him and Oriana.
Protect.
The sphere seemed to teleport to Oriana as she darted back, unfolding that shield again just as the rocket detonated and blew apart the floor. Jinx used the cover to snag Echo by the collar and drag him to his feet, and they beat a hasty retreat under the corner of the smoke and debris.
What the fuck?
Echo was breathing heavily as he got around a set of crates and slumped to the floor with his back against them.
How much time we got, little man?
Jinx asked. Echo pulled his watch out and his jaw tightened as he said,
40 seconds and counting? It doesn't matter.
He slapped the canister at his back.
My Z-drive is broken.
It's fine.
Jinx said matter-of-factly as she leaned out to peek around the corner of the crate.
The fuck do you mean it's fine?
He hissed.
Sure as fuck not working!
Jinx shook her head and said,
It's not the drive, it's the air. The Z-drive needs to saturate the air with magic to create a stable temporal envelope, but it can't because of all the dust.
She held up a hand and rubbed her fingers together, then turned and showed him the fine coating on her palm.
See?
Dust?
Echo said. Then he went deathly quiet as he reached up, pulled his mask off, and leaned in to stare at the bone-pale powder that had been falling on them.
Fuck, Jinx, that's...
Petricite, Jinx said.
The air is filled with petricite. Probably clogging your drive's valves by now, too. Good thing we didn't bring Blondie.
Aya, he whispered. And Gunther. The watch let out a funereal click as it timed out, and the main switch of the Z-drive reset back to the off position, and Echo bowed his head and swore under his breath.
Boss!
The hissed words came from nearby, and Jinx looked up at Vanley and Bellamy, who were cowering behind a set of crates.
What the fuck is that thing?
A champion,
Echo said grimly.
Pretty sure it got Gunn and I.
Why haven't we jumped?
Bellamy cried.
Because they thought of that, Jinx said, grinning. It was a trap. They probably set sifters of unrefined petricite in the rafters,
she pointed up,
to start filling the air with magic null rock dust the moment we got inside.
She shrugged, then said,
pretty clever.
Clever?
Bellamy echoed hollowly.
How are we getting out of here?
No clue,
Jinx replied brightly. All three of them stared at her, then Vanley and Bellamy looked at Echo, and Jinx vaguely registered defeat on their faces. Why, though? It wasn't as though they were going to live any longer in Zaun. Every fight ended with life or death. It was always the same, life and death and breath, and then she would dream again, and it would all start over.
My boss,
Vanley said quietly.
You and Jinx should have just gone. We'll distract that thing low enough for you to run it, okay?
Fuck that,
Echo spat as he turned to Jinx to grab her by the collar.
Look at me!
And Jinx cocked her head and looked him in the eye.
A plan! Give me a plan, something, anything!
Jinx shrugged, then said,
They had a pretty good plan, but I can stay instead if you want.
I
promised your wife you'd come back with me, Echo said through his teeth. And I am to keep that promise, Jay, so give me a way to beat that bot.
Promise me you'll come back to me. Please come back to me. Always, Blimey.
Right, she had promised. Jinx had made a promise to come back. And that meant she had to keep that promise.
Boss, I can hear it coming.
Shut up and let her think, Echo hissed. Her eyes flicked back and forth as she hung limp in Echo's grip.
Can't take her at range, she muttered. Shield is too dense. Quarter-second wind-up manifests at a half-meter. Blocks bullets and rockets. Zappers no good. Too much petrosite in the air.
Boss!
Move! Echo dragged her along as Bellamy and Vanley bolted around. Somewhere in the illimitable distance between her brain and her ears, she registered the clicking sound of bladed feet on concrete.
Quarter-second wind-up. Half-meter manifest.
Jinx stumbled back to her feet and her lips stretched to a rictus as she said,
Hey, little man. Can you still play ball bat?
Echo raised an eyebrow, but there was a hint of a smile there, too, and even his firelights were looking something like hopeful as he said,
Yeah, why? Because we're switching places, she said. I'll take it with fisties while you keep the ball off me. You two.
She looked up to the firelights.
Finish your job, plant the nodes, then run.
Will it even work with the petrosite in the air? Echo asked.
Should,
Jinx said, grinning.
The major magic saturation happens back in Zaun. We're just pulling stuff through.
You sure you can do this?
Nope.
Jinx stood up, pulled her prosthetic free of Pow Pow's control port and said,
But my other idea involves dying, so we might as well give this one a go.
Not waiting for a response, Jinx stood and shrugged off her father's coat, leaving her arms bare. Her hextech prosthetic clicked and whirred as she flexed her metal fingers while her flesh and bones ones cracked at the knuckles. And she spat out a gob of phlegm and petrosite dust onto the floor beside her. Her mind was buzzing like a firelight hive. Everything was up in the air. There was no guarantee of living through the next hour, so she focused on the next minute, the next second. Live through that, and then live through the next one, and the next one, and the next one, until she was back in Blondie's arms.
One more second, Jinx murmured.
Then she bolted out from behind the crates.
Target acquired.
Orianna sent her orb flying, but Echo was in her shadow and swinging. His baton collided with the body of the sphere with a deafening clang and sent it flying away. Echo spun his baton and put his back to Jinx as he said,
Get her, I've got you back!
Jinx didn't respond. She was already up in Orianna's face in the space of a breath. She snuck out jabs and crossing hooks, but Orianna was even faster than she looked, and the clockwork former champion ducked, bombed, and wove backward. Jinx kept on top of her, keeping her guard in tight the way she remembered seeing Vi do when she was on the ropes.
Fists up, arms in, and elbows to the chest, pal. Don't block with your face like I do. It's not as fun as it looks.
Come on, Tuts, you and me,
Jinx jeered as she kept up with every one of Orianna's strides. She was fast, but Jinx was faster.
Show me what you got.
Protocol error,
Orianna chirped.
You're a ranged specialist.
Tell me something I don't know.
Jinx slugged her between the eyes with a straight right cross, snapping Orianna's head back with the kind of force that might have killed a normal person. Orianna seemed barely bothered by the hit and attempted to pirouette away, using her bladed skirt to create distance, but Jinx kept up with her, dropping to her knees in a forward skid and bending backward to let the blade slice over her before kipping back up to her feet and keeping up the withering fusillade of punches. It had been a long time since Jinx found herself missing her big sister, partially because it had been a long time since she really even remembered she had one, but right then, she was missing Vi a lot. Violet would have had Orianna in pieces by now, even without her fat hands.
Ravage!
Orianna ordered, and Jinx heard Echo start swearing up a storm amid the clinks and clanks of his baton hitting metal. Jinx clocked her two more times, once in the chest and once across the jaw, before stepping in even closer to unleash a rapid shoeshine up and into her plated body. Orianna made several balletic cuts and slices with her arms and legs, but she could never find the angle she needed on Jinx. She was too close to hit with her legs, and Jinx was too fast for her claws to do more than make surface cuts, and they barely had a chance to bleed before Jinx's regeneration caught up and closed them over.
Come on!
Her prosthetic struck Orianna across the jaw with the sound of a ball-peen hammer hitting a silver bell.
Gimme something!
Pulse!
Behind her, Echo let out a bark of pain as a static snap of hex electrical impulse filled the air with the stink of scorched skin, hair, and ozone. At the same time, Orianna reversed her momentum, surging forward in a graceful élancé, with her torso rotating separately from her lower body and her claws out, and for the first time, she forced Jinx backward several steps. Sparks flew as Orianna's sickle claws scored across her prosthetic, but it held, and Jinx made a mental note to thank Victor again for the work.
Thrall.
Vertigo rose in Jinx's gut as she flicked a look over her shoulder just in time to see Orianna's sphere erupt in vermilion light as gravity was nullified in a wide area around it. Echo tried to bat it away, but his swing was robbed of all momentum as the sphere briefly nullified all force. There was an instant of weightlessness, just an instant, as Jinx floated off of her feet.
Well, shit, Jinx muttered.
Then she and Echo were both ripped towards the ball as it began spinning rapidly, blades out. Echo thankfully still had his baton up and used it to catch the blades. The force of the hit cracked the baton, biting a chunk from it and sending him sprawling away. Jinx had no such weapon, and she didn't fancy her prosthetic's chances against high-speed rotating blades, so with less than a second to spare, Jinx unfolded the shotgun on her arm and fired straight down. The force of the shell blew a chunk out of the concrete beneath her, but more importantly, it blew her up and over the spinning death ball. Unfortunately, her arc was completely uncontrolled, and she had yet to learn how to fly, and Jinx had a moment to lament that fact as the force of Orianna's gravitational surge dragged her straight back down at near terminal velocity. She hit the concrete with a wet, cracking thud and tasted blood and shimmer on her tongue as her body reported a variety of things going very badly wrong. Busted ribs, a broken arm, her good one, and a cracked skull, among a lot of other things. Her vision was a tight coil of gray, and suddenly she felt unpleasantly sleepy. That probably wasn't good. Forcing herself awake, Jinx cracked an eye open and looked up. Orianna was regarding her quizzically as she commanded her little sphere back to her side. That wasn't really what Jinx was looking at, though. She was looking past Orianna to Vanley and Bellamy, who were giving her the thumbs up. The nodes were planted. It was done. Jinx smiled as she pulled her prosthetic back into its arm configuration, reached into her pocket, and grabbed the trigger. Boom, she mumbled past a split lip as she pressed the button. The taste of ozone became almost cloying, and Orianna instantly spun back and away from her as she chirped,
"Protect!"
Her shield sprang into existence as the air around them shuddered, and then, with a sharp flash and an oddly anticlimactic popping noise, the crates vanished. Jinx watched the two firelights rush for the exit they'd made. They hesitated, both of them fixing their eyes on Echo and then, to Jinx's surprise, on herself.
"Go,"
she mouthed to them and gave them a thumbs up in return before looking back at Orianna, planting her palm on the ground and pushing herself up on her knees. They escaped, and for some reason Jinx felt relief. She spat blood, a lot of blood, onto the ground as she looked up at Orianna, who was looking around in confusion at the suddenly empty space that had once been filled with preserved foodstuffs. Jinx took the moment of confusion to get back to her feet, and out of the corner of her eye she watched as Echo did the same. Her right arm hung limp at her side, so she put up her left,
fist up, arm in, and elbow to the chest,
and said,
"Well, you coming or what?"
Finally, Orianna turned to the pair of them and said,
"Assessment? You were a distraction."
"Just now figuring that out, Toots?" Jinx chuckled. "Guess you are all that, huh?"
"Tertiary objective. Prevent food theft. Has been deemed a failure. Proceeding with primary and secondary objectives."
She went up on her toes with her arms spread like a ballerina preparing a tournée. Jinx spat another goblet of blood onto the ground and said,
"Let me guess, killing us?"
"Correct."
Orianna spun forward, her bladed skirt rotating as she said,
"Ravage."
And her ball came with her, its blades whirring and slicing the air around it. Jinx snapped her arm out into its shotgun configuration and unleashed another shot, and a Chemstech shell spat from the barrel, but with a chirp of,
"Protect."
The ball retracted and formed that sphere of force around Orianna. The shell impacted the shield and sprayed its hyper-condensed payload of yellow, stinking acid over it. And Jinx backpedaled awkwardly away, her whole body protesting the quick movements, telling her in no uncertain terms that her bones were not nearly intact enough to do what she was doing.
Pulse!
The acid scorched to ash as the shield fell. And Orianna dashed forward with her arms snapped out, bladed fingers pointed in a killing thrust at her heart. And this time Jinx couldn't force herself to move in time. Except she wasn't alone. A cracked baton flashed between them as Echo struck her arm off course. Orianna moved with the attack and sliced again with her other claw, then with her leg, and Jinx could hear the integrity of Echo's baton giving a little more with every hit.
"Get out of here, Jake! Go!"
Echo shouted.
"No, not again,"
Jinx mumbled as she staggered back, her eyes wide and her mouth dry as visions of fire and detonations of blue light danced in her head.
"Not again!
You gotta go!"
He elbowed her back and away before knocking back another strike from Orianna.
"It's okay,"
Echo said tightly.
"It's not your fault."
"Not your fault? Not your fault? All your fault? All your fault? Because you're a Jinx!"
"No, no, no!
Kravitz!"
Orianna chirped. And the ball spun in at Echo. Jinx couldn't get her arm up fast enough this time. She couldn't see straight. Echo turned and swung a two-handed cross at the incoming sphere with his baton, and he hit it full force, sending it careening off into the shadows, and his baton snapped in half on impact.
"Terminate."
Orianna's bladed fingers took him full in the chest and erupted out his back, sending a loose spray of blood across the floor. And Jinx watched Echo slump to the floor. His hands wrapped around his wrist as he looked back over his shoulder at Jinx.
"Run,"
he rasped. Time seemed to slow and the world trembled as Jinx tried to grasp the situation. Her world was spinning and her gut was roiling. Every inch of her body ached from her torn muscles to her fractured bones. It wasn't supposed to be like this. They were supposed to win. They had to win. Jinx licked her lips as tears began tracking down her dust-caked cheeks, cutting lines down to her chin as she watched Orianna pull her gore-covered hand casually out of Echo's chest. "Echo, little man. Echo, little man." Dying. He was dying. He was all she had left of her old world, all she had left of her old family without Vi. He was all she had left.
"Not again,"
Jinx sobbed, then roared,
"Not again!"
Orianna turned to look up at her, started to make a gesture and speak another command, but for the second time that night, a weightlessness fell over Jinx. She took in a breath, and instead of tasting blood and petricite dust, she tasted good, clean air like a morning breeze coming in through her and Blondie's old spire flat windows. That air seemed to travel through her, and she was vaguely aware that her feet were no longer touching the ground.
"Critical error. Primary target displaying unforeseen hexaformic abilities."
Orianna snapped her arm out at full extension and said,
"Ravage."
Jinx took all that good clean air that she'd sucked in, pressed her lips together, and exhaled. A tempest exploded from her lungs as gale force winds snatched Orianna's little sphere from the air, plucking it off of its trajectory and hurling it at, and then straight through, the hard wooden wall of the warehouse. The warehouse itself groaned and rocked back and forth as Orianna threw her arms up protectively and staggered back. With an almighty crack, the roof of the warehouse was torn away along with whole sections of wall and thrown somewhere off in the distance. The klaxons of Piltover could still be heard from the far city, but Jinx ignored them as she closed her eyes, raised her hands to the sky, closed her fingers around the firmament itself, and pulled. Torrential rain fell, hammering what little petricite dust remained in the air and plastering it to the ground. The droplets of water flashed green and blue, and where they touched her, her wounds healed over. Her broken arm reset itself with a snap, the tears in her skin, struggling to heal even with her chem-enhanced physiology, sealed over without a hint of a scar. And she glared down at Orianna, who was watching with that same impassive blue stare. Through it all, Jinx could feel the world breathing, not just around herself, but from everything and everyone. She could feel the pulse of Zaun and its wheezing, asthmatic heaves of air being dragged through great industrial lungs, sieved poorly of the Grey's killing poison. She felt the people, too. There in an alley, she felt the death rattle of an old junkie, his lungs riddled with tumors. Here, the first breath and cry of a new child born in the deep slum wards of Grime's barony. Jinx felt every inhale and exhale, and knew them each by name and knew every truth of their souls. Piltover breathed, too, and tasted of the bright, clean ocean air that blew in from over the cliffs. It was all so much, it was too much.
"Too much, Blondie,"
Jinx sobbed.
"It's too much!"
She screamed, and the wind tore the walls from their foundations and sent them sailing through the Khadra camp. She felt breath cease in droves as they were snuffed out by debris. And it was all too much.
"So that's where you've been hiding?"
Camille leaned forward in her command chair to brace her elbows on her mechanical knees, laced her fingers, and rested her chin on her knuckles and smiled.
"I knew it."
All around Camille, the dimly lit central control chamber of Logos hummed with activity. Dozens of consoles were manned by cerebrally augmented specialists, each one monitoring a different data feed coming in from the weapons test in front of them. They were Camille's best and brightest, although none were quite so bright as the young woman who stood beside her. The same young woman was staring at the screen before them in horror.
"What is that thing?"
Ran asked hollowly as she stared at the staticky feed that was being transmitted from the former champion Oriana's perceptive cortex.
"That is what I have been hunting for almost 50 years,
Camille said nonchalantly.
"But what is it?"
Camille snorted out a laugh, feeling real cheer for the first time in a long time as she said,
"It's the Mother Goddess of Zaun."
"Goddess?" Ren turned to her so pale that her pretty freckles stood out like little stars.
"They have a goddess?"
"And a small one,"
Camille replied as she relaxed back and gestured for the Logos operatives at the main console to issue the retreat order. No sense in losing a perfectly good asset.
"What are we going to do?" Ren asked.
Camille smiled faintly as she turned and reached out to brush her knuckles across the young woman's lips and over her cheeks.
"We're going to kill her, my dove,"
she said calmly.
"And then I'm going to eat her."
"Command acknowledged,"
she said calmly to someone who was not there.
"Weapons test complete. Disabling system doctrine, purge. Enabling system doctrine, flight. Exfiltrating now."
Echo opened his eyes in time to see Oriana's balletic retreat as she vanished into the wind and torrent of the storm. Sitting up, he brushed his rain-slicked dreads from his eyes and patted a hand over his chest. The hole that had been punched into his guts was sealed over as if it had never been there. There wasn't even a scar. The only sign that he had ever been wounded was the bloody tear that went through his armored jacket, tunic, and underclothes, then out the other side. Turning around, he looked up to find himself in the eye of an impossible tempest, all centered around one figure. Jinx hovered better than a meter off the ground, her eyes wide and her mouth open in a silent scream.
"Jinx!"
Echo roared over the winds.
"Jinx, you're okay! We're okay!"
Her lips began moving, and Echo strained to hear her muttered words over the torrent of wind and rain and picked out two words being repeated again and again in Gutlow.
"Too much, too much, too much, too much, too much, too much. Shit."
Echo grabbed his hoverboard off his back, threw it down, jumped on, and said,
"Sorry in advance,"
before kicking the accelerator and rocketing up into her. Echo bodied Jinx straight out of the air, ripping her from where she'd been floating and carrying her into the storm. The winds ripped them both from the hoverboard almost instantly, and Echo held on as tight as he could to Jinx as they went down. He barked out a snarl of pain as he struck the ground, and he clutched Jinx close to keep her from bashing her brains out on the concrete as they rolled to a stop. They had barely come to a stop when the winds began to die down almost as quickly as they had appeared, and Echo pushed himself back to his feet as he cradled Jinx, who was seizing violently. Pinkish foam frothed at her lips as she stared sightlessly up at nothing.
What the fuck?
Echo put a hand to her chest, then her throat, then wiped her mouth clear. She wasn't choking, at least, but something was very wrong.
Jinx, talk to me. Stay with me.
He wiped some of the grime and rain from her face, and as he pushed away a lock of water-matted hair, he froze and stared down into a pair of mismatched eyes. Her right eye was bright, shimmer pink, but the other... the other was a familiar gem-tone blue that he hadn't seen since they were much, much younger.
Okay. Okay, okay.
He looked for his board, but it was lost to the tempest, probably hurled away. Fortunately, Jinx's board was still nearby next to her guns and jacket where she'd dropped them. How they had escaped the winds, Echo wasn't sure. Maybe Jinx, in some corner of her mind, had protected them. There was no telling. All Echo knew was that Jinx was no god's damned mage, which begged the question, how the fuck had she summoned that kind of wind? He dragged Jinx over to the board, wiped it down, threw her guns over his shoulder, and kicked open the throttle. It would take hours before the Cadres even started to recover from that freak flash storm, and even longer for them to start looking for anything of them, given that most were in Piltover. They had a window, and Echo intended to use it.
Come on, Jay, he said,
pulling her close as he leaned forward and bolted for the chasm. We're getting your happy ass home. The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.